often to the sons of Esau in my messages, and I wanted to have Brother Mike read that again because it had been a while, and for those of you who have never heard that, it is the thing that sets us apart. Everything there is, all things, including the wicked, will glorify our Lord Jesus Christ in his day. That's what Scripture tells us. All things will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to this 23rd Psalm, if you would. And that very poem points us to that very fact, that even the sons of Esau will glorify the Lord, even if what it is that they serve the younger. Think of how many Esau's or doctors that have come up with cures or medications or whatever. How many sons of Esau have invented the wheel, the one with rubber on it. That's what we're talking about. God uses everything. When he says that all things are for the good to those that love him, to those who are called, he's not just talking about this or that. He's talking about everything. He says all things. All the good stuff and all the bad stuff. It's all for our good. It's all for our purpose. And it will glorify him in the end. Have you ever heard the phrase alpha male? Now, you women, hold on just a moment. I know some women who are alpha too, so don't think I'm just going to talk to the men here today. This is a message for everyone. Alpha male. Someone who takes charge, steps up to the plate, quick to say, we need this done, we need that done, whatever, to guide, to lead. That's kind of the kind of guy John Reeves has been all these years. I fit right into management at the company I used to work for. If you were to question anybody that worked for me, they'd tell you I was kind of the worst guy in the world to work for because I expected you to work as I would do. And if you don't work the way I do, then I would be all over you. So there was some confrontation with that in many ways. But that's kind of who John Reeves is. He was an alpha male. So when I came and heard the word of God and heard God's people referred to as sheep, I thought to myself, what do you mean, sheep? I'm not following anybody around, you know. But then as the Lord began to work in my heart and show me that, yeah, we are sheep. His people. We may have acted like goats. We may have acted like alpha males and alpha females. But when it comes right down to it, our God rules everything. He is sovereign over every single little detail. Period. If he's not, then he's not God. And you can't call him God if he doesn't rule all things. These little teeny gods that man wants to make up with their imagination, this little God that maybe rules part of this but allows some of that, and you can frustrate that God by doing this or whatever. The Greek gods, think of how many, I've frustrated the gods and my gods, and now they're punishing me and stuff like that. I mean, that's what their little gods are. My God isn't frustrated by anything. It's exactly the way he wants it to happen. He's the creator of it all. Could it be anything less? Sheep are known for their desire to be led. It's their nature. If they're not tended to, they will scatter and not return. Have you ever seen one of those programs where they have competition and people show up with their dogs and they got to corral the sheep, you know, with just the dog. The guy stands over there, does a whistle or says a word, and the dog runs out and corrals the sheep up. It's kind of interesting to watch that. The sheep, man, they know how to mind real good, and they follow every little move. That dog, he sits down, the sheep know what's going to happen next, and they'll go and do what they're supposed to do. Are you with me in the 23rd Psalm? Look at verse 1. Well, it'd help if I get there first. There we go. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the title for today's message. My shepherd. In 2 Chronicles 18, verse 16, it says, "Then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd." That's the way each and every one of us were before the gospel was applied to our hearts. We acted like goats, but we were sheep scattered, wandering around out there trying to be the best goat we could, until the day the Lord showed us that we were sheep. And we needed guidance from one who gives the best guidance of all. This was what my life was like before the Lord called me. Wandering about thinking that I was on a road of my own choosing. Making my own destiny, as it were. Famous saying from Scarface, "The world was mine for the taking." You see, the word shepherd implies one that who is a caretaker, one who will lead the flock. In the 80th Psalm, verse 1, it says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Give ear, O Lord, Abba, Father." Before we get too deep, though, into this shepherd, notice the writer of our text says, "My shepherd." This is what I want to bring out to you this morning. Many know the great shepherd. Many have what is called a zeal for Christ. But they come up short on a personal relationship. I guarantee you the Pope, the head of the Catholic Church, knows more about Scripture than I will ever learn in my entire life. He can quote all kinds of Scripture right off the top of his head, and there are thousands of men out there who can do that. They have a great knowledge of God's Word, but they have no idea what it is to have a shepherd. The great shepherd. They come up short of a personal relationship, the one that Christ the Lord has with his chosen people. In the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 1, it says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, for the people of God, for all of the people of God, is that they might be saved." That's what picture is, that Israel is. It's a picture of God's people. Paul writing to the Romans, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness," they have a knowledge of the word of God. All those guys, the Jewish rabbis, they would spend every moment of their day awake with the scrolls, reading through the scrolls. Paul himself had that great zeal for Christ, for God, through the Word of God. He knew all the Scriptures, but he didn't know Christ. Not until the Lord Jesus called him on the road to Emmaus. Not until the Lord called John Reeves did I know who Jesus was. In a personal way. To know that we are sinners. Sinners before a holy God. Even the best that we have is not good enough. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that every one of us who belong to the Lord Jesus can claim as our own, because he took our sins upon himself. He was made to be sin for us, that we would be righteous in him. ignorant of God's righteousness, ignorant of Christ Jesus, and going about to establish their own righteousness. That's what works is. That's what free will is. That's what all the things that we think we must do. My granddaughter came to me and she said, "Grandpa, I'm sorry, I wasn't at church last weekend." And I stopped her. Well, actually, it was a couple days later. I came to her and I said, "I need to talk to you about that." And I'm talking to you folks right now. You don't have nothing to be sorry to me for ever. Unless you do something to my wife or my children. You have no reason to come to me and ask for my forgiveness for not being here on a Sunday. That's between you and God. If God wants you here, he'll bring you. I'm just a man. You got nothing reason to be sorry. She said, I'm sorry, Grandpa, that I couldn't be at church. You don't have to be sorry, sweetie. You're exactly where God wants you to be. Our God is sovereign over everything. They go about establishing their own righteousness, and they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You know, the devils know who Christ is, right? They were talking to the Lord. The Lord had just extradited them out of this man. And they said, "Who are you to come to us?" Or actually, he said this before he did, before he took him, told them to get out. "Who, you know, why have you come to us before our time?" They knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And then they asked him for the permission. Can we at least go into these pigs over here? Okay, go. That's the power of God. The devils know who Christ is. But they know nothing of the mercy of God to his people. We have a Savior. We have one who is merciful to a people. Instead of getting rid of everything and starting all over, our Lord, in his wisdom, has chosen a people unto himself. He calls them my elect. They will be my people and I will be their God. Salvation is a personal experience of the heart. One who has been loved from before the world was by God the Creator will experience the new birth. Our Lord said, "Ye must be born again." Is there anybody here who had anything to do with their birth? No, there's not. You can't. Ye must be born again. One who has been loved from before the world was by God the Creator will experience new birth. New wine cannot be put in an old flask. The residue will contaminate it. In Ephesians 2:1 it says, "And you hath he quickened, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." In Colossians 2:13 it says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." The new birth comes from Christ Jesus, God Almighty, in his throne. When one has had the old stony heart, that rebellious heart removed, that heart that said, "I will not have the Christ of glory ruling over me." That's what free will is. Free will is one who says, "I'll decide when you'll rule over me." When you've had that old stony heart removed and cast away, God moves in and he creates a new man in us. A new flask to hold new wine. Those for whom God the Father gave to God the Son will call the Lord, will call Jesus the Lord, my shepherd. It's all about the personal, it's all about your heart. And the heart makes it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a shepherd. He's the one who guides me in every step that I take. He either allows me to step in it, which means I'm just getting dirty. It doesn't mean I'm dying. Or he allows me to walk the way he wants to. We're reading in the book of Samuel, David, the story of David. David has gone out, sent his men out to a rich man, one that he had helped at one time. This is during a time when David is being chased by the king, Saul. Saul wants to kill him because he's jealous of him. And David sent his men out, and this man named Nabal refused to help them after David had helped them. So David gathered up his men in anger, was going to go and destroy the family of Nabal. Our Lord was guiding David exactly how he wanted him to. David was on his way to take out the family when the wife Abigail came out and stopped him, which is another, God was guiding that woman to come out and stop David. Another point, David, in today's lesson, walks right into the camp of Saul, and everybody was put to sleep. Our God was guiding David's footsteps right there too. The Lord is my shepherd. We turn all of our cares and wants over to Him, simply trusting every day, trusting through the stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. That's something we have to learn, isn't it? We put all of our trust in Him. Are you still with me in Psalms? Let's continue reading. I shall not want, it says. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. When the world rises up against me, when my boss sends me somewhere that I didn't want to go, when the leaders of this country do things that anger us, it is our Lord, our shepherd, who maketh us to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The very idea that we know who God is in a personal way brings peace to our hearts. It stills the waters that are in our life, the storms, the waves are calm. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness will be mine, even in the times of chaos and turmoil that surrounds me in this world. I was reminded in a conversation last night, our God rules. That's what the people of God want to hear. We have enough stirring up our minds. We have enough coming at us from all sides, telling us that they're doing this. It'll stir us up and bring anger. What people of God want to hear is our God rules. Even that stuff that's going on in the world around us that disturbs us, our God rules. We put all of our trust in Him. Our great God cannot make an error. He doeth all things well, right? In Hebrews 13:20, it says, Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, He make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Turn to the 10th chapter of John, if you would. Christ the Lord is a great shepherd indeed. As the God-man, could he be anything less than great? Could he be anything less than perfect? Could he be anything less than right? In Isaiah 40:10, it says, "Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him." Our Lord Jesus is known as the arm of God. "Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." In Jeremiah 31, we read, "Hear the word of the Lord, O you nations, and declare in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock." My Lord, my great shepherd. Can you say that about God? Can you say that about the Lord Jesus? Is he your great shepherd? "Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together in the goodness of the Lord, for wheat and for wine and for oil, for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a wretched garden, a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. The Lord of all creation does as he sees fit, and he does it right and pure and righteous in every way. And that includes choosing his elect. That includes choosing Jacob. One more verse before I join you in John. Matthew 25:31 says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." That's God's word. We read about how the Lord loved one and hated the other before they were even born. Election goes throughout the scripture, folks. Israel was chosen by God to be a picture of his people. Not the rest of the world, not Egypt, not Persia, not any of the other places. Israel. Election is throughout Scripture. "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." In Ephesians chapter 1, he tells us we were predestinated from the foundation of the world. Folks, our great shepherd cannot fail. Do you believe? Do you believe that? This is his word. "The Lord Jesus is the way and the truth, and no man cometh unto him but by the Father." Our Lord gives a parable to be an example right here in John chapter 5. Chapter 10, verse 1. "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." If you come to God any other way besides through the mercy and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are a thief and a robber. If you come to the Lord by your free will, or by getting baptized, or by worshiping on Saturday, or anything else that you can think of, you are a thief. You're stealing the glory of God. "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger." This parable, verse 6, spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake to them. And then Jesus made it very clear. Just as he comes to each and every one of his children, in a day when you may not have understood what the gospel was all about, all of a sudden the Lord made it clear to your heart. All of a sudden you knew the person you were hearing about was God Almighty, our Creator, perfect and holy in every way. Our Lord opened your heart that day to hear the truth. He was leading you that very moment, just as he has led you all the way. All the way my Savior leads me. Then said Jesus, verse 7, unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Only one way to God, folks, and that's through our Lord Jesus. I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to be destroyed. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He not only guides us in our steps, he came and became the substitute for us. He paid the price. He gave his life that we might live. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. And hear what the word of the Lord says next. May God place this in your heart. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now, if you would, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll bring this to an end. First Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11, will you? Remember when we talked about me becoming the pastor, I told you I'm not here to tell you how to live. I'm not here to tell you you have to be in church every Sunday. God will do that for his people. I know, I've seen in many cases, in any cases of my own, where our God has done a work in one who has gone astray, and that person could no longer do it, or I could no longer do it. If you're a child of God, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying when the Lord convicts your heart about what it is you're doing. God will teach us what to do through his word, and he will make it effectual in our hearts. Here our Lord tells us, dearly beloved, I beseech you. Now he's speaking through the prophet Peter. As strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or as the supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that which well do, with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood. Fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject unto you, masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also to the forward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when ye be buffeted for your faults? Ye shall take it patiently, but if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Speaking of Christ, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Did you ever stop to think for a moment on how the Lord did not say a word in that court? What you and I would today would probably call a monkey court. A bunch of monkeys up there charging him with nothing, making up all kinds of stuff about him. He did not say a word. He kept his peace because he had to go to that cross. He who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Verse 23, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who is his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. And here's what I want to close with. Verse 25. For each and every one of us, and every one of God's people who have ever walked this earth, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishops of your soul. We're just as the goats, folks. We were at one time sheep, yes, but acting as goats, going astray from our Creator. Who makes one to differ from another? Who made those twins in the womb of that woman to differ? God does. And He does it perfectly and righteously. In every way. The one who made me to differ is my great shepherd, Jesus Christ the Lord. I am thine, O Lord. Lead me in thine ways. Would you stand with me, please?